This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
I remember seeing the ad in New Idea. I remember what I was wearing. I remember the weather. I remember everything. Us girls, we had a lot of say in everything. People think that we were manufactured, and in ways, yes, we were, but in a lot of ways, it all came from us. Again, we didn't see any profit from that.
You guys were just being screwed left, right and centre by the sounds
of
it.
Oh, yeah. Big time. Big time, yeah. She came out on television recently and just said that she stole from Sophie because she actually stole the most from me.
Oh, wow.
That's all true.
It's hard to believe it's been 20 years since Bardot's single Poison debuted at number one in Australia. As massive Bardot fans, we're thrilled to be joined today by former band member Belinda Chapel.
Belinda, officially welcome to Outspoken. Thanks for joining us all the way from Singapore.
My pleasure.
Firstly, how are you coping in isolation? Because I understand there's some pretty strict rules in Singapore in place.
Yes. Well, I was actually unwell at the beginning of this year. So for me, I had to take a little bit of time off work and kind of working from home a lot more. And it's been a big change now that I'm better. You know, I can't go anywhere. I can't see friends. It's and my husband and I, we're both working from home. Everything's closed. It's really bizarre. And I guess the evenings in Singapore are so happening till very late. And we go out for a night walk most nights, and it's just everything's closed. It's just the weirdest. It's like a set from a movie, you know, those Armageddon kind of films where there's just no one on the streets. It's bizarre.
It is freaky. I was going to say, last time I went to Singapore, there were so many beautiful dogs. I know there's beautiful dogs everywhere, but Singapore seems to have real designer dogs. Do you find that when you're walking around?
I don't know. I think maybe their dogs get extra spoilt because so many people have helpers and live-in maids. And often you'll see the maids walking everyone's dogs, like the owners don't walk them themselves. You see a lot of that. And I think the maids look after them and get them trimmed, and maybe that's why they're looking extra designer.
It's funny Amy said that, because I was actually noticing all the beautiful long-haired women and then their handbags. So obviously Amy and I are looking at different things, like all the Chanel designer bags, designer dogs and bags. Well, now we're all spending so much time inside, do you have any recommendations of Netflix or podcasts or books that you're reading or watching whilst you're in isolation?
Oh, look, I mean, I watch so much on Netflix, but have done. I love all the documentaries. I think I've watched almost every documentary on Netflix. And I can't even name them because there's too many. But as far as series, I loved Ozark. I thought that it was just brilliant. I don't know that actress's name, the blonde girl with the younger girl with the I don't know if you've watched Ozark, but I love the lead actors in it, and I just think it's brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Big fan of Ozark, and I've watched all the series. And I am a fan of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and New York City. I don't watch the others, just those two.
Oh, you got to get into Melbourne. You got to watch Real Housewives of Melbourne. It is amazing.
I did watch it. I did watch a few. It's a bit of a car crash. I don't know. I loved the women on Beverly Hills. More. So
fair enough.
I'm embarrassed to admit, but I love that kind of thing as well. It's a bit of fun.
Oh, there's definitely no judgment here. We love all the Real Housewives. I was going to say, we stumbled across some old episodes of Pop Stars on YouTube, and oh my gosh, that was such a blast from the past. Have you rewatched any of the episodes?
I did. I recently watched the whole thing on YouTube, probably about I don't know, whenever it was uploaded 4 or 5 months ago, and I hadn't watched it since then. So that's what, 18 years ago or whatever. And I just, parts of it, I was cringing. And oh my God, it was like I had my hands over my eyes going, I don't know if I can watch some of this. But no, I mean, it was just, it's really weird to watch yourself that up close and personal. You know, that long ago, I think anyone would feel that. It's just a weird thing. It's like, oh my God, I was 24, and I don't know, life was different then as it is. You know, that's 20 years ago. So a lot has changed. I mean, it was long before social media and Google and laptops and like, yeah, weird. It's just, and I don't know where time has gone. It's just flown. I don't feel 20 years older. I do in some ways, but not in others. I'm a big kid in other ways. So yeah, it's weird.
You honestly don't look like you've aged a day since appearing in Popstars though, because I hadn't obviously seen you since, you know, you're on Popstars, and I looked you up on Instagram and I was like, oh my God, Belinda looks exactly this. Like, your hair is so fabulous, and oh my goodness, you're killing it. What are your secrets?
Oh God, I don't know. I think I know my mum looks good for her age. I haven't had children yet, unfortunately, so that could be why I have maybe less lines on my face. I don't know. I get a lot of sleep. I look after myself, you know. I've always done lots of yoga and recently lots of meditation because I suffer from anxiety. And, I don't know. I mean, I think if you saw me, you would see I've aged. Obviously, you put a nice filter. I don't go crazy with my filters and airbrushing at all, but I always put a nice little filter so, you know, you look a little bit better.
Well, one of the things I loved watching, because we actually watched the episode of Popstars the other day when it was the big concert in Sydney, and you guys were trying on some amazing outfits. Katie was wearing her kind of like robot outfit that was flashing, and there was like a space outfit.
Yeah,
space outfit. Yeah, and there was some, like, I think Tiffany had like cowboy hat. I was just loving the 2000 fashion. Have you kept any of those items of clothing?
Yeah, I actually did. I had a suitcase that I folded all my my cat suits that I designed, because I designed all my outfits in Bardot. So yeah, I mean, I think I wore a few iconic like sort of things from Bettina Liano in the day. I don't know if you remember Bettina Liano.
From Real Housewives of Melbourne. Sorry, just throwing in some trivia there for you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right. She's okay. Because I'm sure I met her. She's quite different to the sister, right? Is she?
She's got very over the top makeup and very like glamorous.
Yeah, that one. Okay. Yeah. Get it. I definitely kept, especially the pieces that I designed and had made. So I kept all my costumes. My outfit from Poison, my outfit from ASAP, yeah, and that kind of thing. But because a lot of it wasn't like leather or it was like PVC and whatever, a lot of it just disintegrated over the years, and I didn't package it properly. I just put it in a suitcase and put it in my mum and dad's garage in Sydney. So I went to get everything out, and it was just it dissolved, like really weird. So I only kept like a few pieces. I've got two cat suits left, I think, and that's it, with the big flares and the Del Montes on the bottom and my boots that I actually had made as well. I have these silver boots that I designed and had made by a cobbler in Sydney. And they're silver leather, and they've got these great studs on them, and I wore them a lot in Bardot, so I kept them. They're still good.
They do sound familiar. Yeah. I do remember those now that you're saying that. I was going to say, now that you've revealed you've got all of these outfits, I'm a little bit disappointed to hear, you know, to see that they weren't on your Zoom call, of course, to commemorate the 20-year anniversary of Poison. Can you tell us, how did that all come about?
I think Sally Polyronis from Bardot, she was always trying to get us back together once we split over the years, and she sent us a message about 6 months ago or whatever it was and said, guys, you know, it's 20 years coming up. If we're going to do something, we better start looking at it now. And I think Sally was really hoping that Sophie would be involved and kept messaging her, but Sophie wasn't interested at all. Mm. So then it was just down to the four of us, and we're talking at length about it what it could be, whether it's a small thing, whether it ends up just a barbecue that we all catch up privately, or whether we actually do something in the public eye. Just to, you know, celebrate the music that was, maybe even record some new music. You know, this was all in discussion. Then Sally changed her mind, didn't really want to do anything at all, sadly. And so then the three of us were just left, and we hopped on a call. We were chatting and catching up, and we were like, right, let's sing. So we did that video, and we obviously couldn't do it there and then on the spot because of the lag. So if you're doing a Zoom call and you've got three people in it, there's 3-second lag, so you certainly can't do a cappella like that. So then we found this app and we did it on that, and it was unrehearsed and completely you just add yourself in the box and then send it to the other person, and then you harmonize on top. And so it was just completely random, and then we came up with that. We just were like, cool, let's post it. So that's how it happened.
It was so good. You guys sounded amazing. I would love for you guys to come back. And I mean, even if it's just the three of you, I feel like it would be, there'd be so much demand for at least one song or a few.
Yes. Well, more than that's one, what I we're think. Thinking. Yeah. I kind of agree with you, actually. And I think there's no reason why not, kind of thing, I sort of feel. And, you know, even if it's just a new track, but we're looking at it, put it that way.
Cool. Yeah, that's exciting. Well, talking about Sophie, you and Sophie were great friends when you guys were on Pop Stars. I mean, is it sad that we don't want to slag off Sophie because we love Sophie Monk as well, but is it just a bit disappointing that she can't come back, even if it was just a barbecue, if it wasn't publicized? Is it a little bit disappointing for you guys?
Well, look, to be honest, for me, I haven't seen her since the last concert. You can imagine that much time. I don't really have any sort of feelings. It's like a stranger. You know, I have wonderful memories of the time in the band with her and I, and our stupid sense of humor. We had an absolute ball together, you know, like it was just constant banter and just, I mean, we just get each other going with our humor and we laugh our heads off most of the time. So we really had that bond in common. With humour and stuff. But no, I haven't really seen her since then. So I don't know if I feel so much sad, but I don't know sort of how I feel about it all in that way, to be honest. But as I said, it's I think that's all I'll say.
Just a bit lighthearted. I was going to ask you if you watched her on The Bachelorette, but I'm guessing not if you haven't seen her since the last. Kalinda's been in Singapore. I don't know if The Bachelorette gets there.
I think I'm pretty sure I did watch one episode online because find something. Yeah, and I think my best friend was watching it and sending me little memos. Oh, my God, this is going on, and she loves Bachelorette. So, so then I definitely looked it up and I watched one episode, but other than that, I can't really, I don't know. I did the whole thing.
If we transported you back to 2000 now, when did you first hear about the Pop Stars audition, and do you remember that audition process well?
So I've actually written a memoir, a book, which hopefully will be coming out this year, and all of that is in my book.
Awesome.
I remember seeing the ad in New Idea. I remember what I was wearing. I remember the weather. I remember everything. It was at a little corner store by my house in Bronte. I lived near the beach at that time in a beach shack with my sister and three other flatmates. And, it was such a fabulous memory, really, because I was so young and I had my little bomby Honda and I was traveling to gigs out west every weekend. I was singing in a covers band and I was modeling as well when I could. well, whatever job I got, whatever modelling job I got at the time. And yeah, so no, I remember seeing that article. Was just a one-pager audition, Australia's answer to the Spice Girls, and I was beside myself. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm going to get this. I'm definitely going to get this. And it's really weird because I was so down on myself really in a lot of ways, and I used to audition a lot, but I was a really bad auditioner. I'd get really nervous. But for some reason with this, I just thought I wanted it so much, and I just thought, right, I'm going to get this. Like, I had that attitude going into the audition, and I think that's half of it, isn't it, in life? You really, really want something, you'll make it happen. So my energy or my attitude or whatever got me through 2000 Girls or whatever it was out of, and I got it. So I think it's that's a little lesson to everybody out there, actually. If you really want something and you put that energy out, you know, you just might get it.
That's so true. I was going to ask, I've recently read that when they showed, you know, when they aired you hearing that you'd got into the band, that was actually refilmed, like you'd found out earlier. What actually happened? Was there a mistake on their behalf, or what happened?
No. So I didn't, they actually reworked, misinterpreted what I said, that journalist. What happened was I was told before the day of filming. So I was told 2 days earlier that I'd been chosen for the band, and that was due to other reasons, which I won't go into. But then, so when they came round to my house, I think it was because I wasn't sure I was going to sign the contract, actually. Oh. That's what it was. So then when they came round to my house, I knew I'd been picked, and I did that fake, yay. God, it's like the most cringy thing to come and haunt me when I saw it the other day.
You touched on before that, before you obviously got into the group, you were driving around in like an old bomb Honda, but I do vividly remember all of you girls getting a Beetle, a different colored Beetle, and oh my gosh, I still want a yellow Beetle to this day because of seeing you guys driving around. Yeah. But obviously you guys were insanely recognizable then.
And the number plates had your names from memory on it.
Yeah, did you guys, I think you got them taken away from you after a little while, was that true?
That we had them taken away.
Yeah, I think I remember on an episode there was like you guys got them, and then maybe I'm not remembering correctly, but did you not get to drive around them for very long because you were too recognisable?
No, I think we had them for a while. I think they changed them around, and they were borrowed. Even though we did their whole campaign on television, they didn't give them to us. They were borrowed, and we had to give them back. But no, I don't think our names are on the number plates, from memory. And I remember I had a blue one for a while, and then I had a green one. But yeah, I think it was about a year we had them. But I don't know. I didn't feel like it was that. I don't know. Maybe it was because I was living in Bronte. Not many people watched pop stars in Bronte. I don't know. But I don't remember the car bringing that much attention. I don't know.
Well, from
short-sighted anyway, so maybe I didn't see it.
I was 12 at the time, and it made a great impact on me. What a great marketing campaign. I still want one 20 years later. How sad is that?
Funny. Yeah.
There were a lot of scandalous, well, not a lot, but there were a few scandalous moments on pop stars, and I'm sure we're going to find out more from your book, which I personally can't wait to read. Are you able to touch on any of the moments that involve Chantelle Barry? Because she's often forgotten, but she got sort of turfed out of the group, and there was rumors that she stole money from Sophie Monk. What actually happened? Or can you say what happened?
Well, the details are in my book, but no, it was interesting that she came. I found it fascinating that she came out on television recently and just said that she stole from Sophie because she actually stole the most from me.
Oh, wow.
So, she only stole from both of us. But, yeah, that's all true.
That's disappointing.
Mm. Because I read that you guys were getting $100 a week allowance. I think that's what Chantelle said. I mean,
$20 a day per diems, something like that. Yeah,
that is crazy. I know it was 20 years ago, but $100 20 years ago was still not very much money. How were you guys surviving on that?
Well, it was like living in a bubble. They paid for everything, so we were able to And I'm pretty sure in the end they were, yeah, so they covered all our living expenses, but they were making a lot of money from us, as you can imagine, over the years. But, yeah, no, it's we were on per diems. Yes, that's true.
Oh, wow.
So,
well, yeah. What was it like living all together? I think it was in the same apartment, but let me know if I'm wrong. But, like, how did that go, and how did you guys all manage to get along, or were there times when there was, like, fighting? Because, I mean, as we're triplets, so I live with my two sisters for 30 years and we fought, like, every day. So I can't imagine it would have been easy living with four other girls that you hardly knew.
No, I mean, I think we did really well. You know, I don't recall a lot of negativity at all in the band. Not in the first year, not really even after Katie left. I'm sure, yeah, sure, there were moments of stress, but and you know, where two personalities would clash or whatever, but nothing major, nothing at all, nothing that tore us apart or, you know, or really caused problems. I think it was remarkable, really, how we all sort of got on under such pressure. When I look back, you know, it was, yeah.
Well, that's pretty impressive. What about, did anyone steal each other's clothes or?
No, just their allowance.
No. Oh, just their, sorry.
Just their, we were given a lot of free clothes. So,
oh, that's good.
And because we helped launch Bardo, the clothing label, they gave us a lot of free clothes. So that was cool. Yeah.
So that was going to be one of my questions, because I do recall there was that association with the Bardo clothing line. So I'm assuming you guys didn't have much say in the name of the band?
No, Sophie and I, we named the band. We came up, I sort of had the idea that we should be called Hepburn after Audrey Hepburn, and the idea of us being named after a beautiful movie actress, like someone feminine, someone very well known. And yeah, and Sophie's like, what about Bridget Bardot? And then it was Bardot. So that's how it happened. And so, yeah, we named us girls. We had a lot of say in everything. People think that we were manufactured, and in ways, yes, we were, but in a lot of ways it all came from us, you know, down to our clothes and songs that were released. And, yeah, we did have a say, absolutely.
Oh, that's heaps cool. So did the clothing line come off the back of you guys naming the band Bardot then?
No, so when we went to register Bardo, the name, obviously we did a search and we found there was this little company in Melbourne in a back street, unknown, completely unknown. So oh, wow. We cut a deal with them, and then they launched and just went all over Australia. They were in every single Westfield, and we basically launched their brand. And I think our company that owned Bardo, they did a deal with them. But again, we didn't see any profit from that. That was just done between the girls in Melbourne that owned this company, Bardo, and then, and the people that owned Bardo, the band. So, yeah, that's how it happened.
So I know you probably can't say too much, but you guys were just being screwed left, right and centre by the sounds
of
it.
Oh, yeah. Big time. Big time. Yeah.
Was that one of the decisions for the split? Because, you know, you guys were doing so well, and I read in an interview you were talking about how disappointed you were and how, I suppose, frustrated at yourself in a way for signing the release that said it was a
release.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was money a reason for the split? Were you guys wanting to go were there some members wanting to go their own way?
If that was the case, I don't know. It was never verbalised to me from any of the members. And we had actually just restructured everything, so we'd started to make some money finally, sort of the last 5 months before the band ended. So, no, we were in a much better space financially, and we owned our name again. They'd given us the name Bardo, and, yeah, so it was all positive. Everything was onwards and upwards. But, again, I won't go into the details of how it happened, but it'll all be in my book.
Oh, I can't wait. When does your book drop? When where can we find it when it's released?
Well, at this stage, I'm like just finalising exactly those details, so I won't sort of say how and when yet. But soon I'll be able to reveal all of that.
Well, we'll all stay tuned because we cannot wait.
Okay.
Just back to you guys all living together. We recently did an interview with, I don't know if you watched Australian Idol, but with Rob Mills, who was on the first series.
Yeah.
And he mentioned that they used to sneak out of Idol HQ, out of their Idol mansion. Did you guys ever manage to sneak out, and did you have disguises that you'd wear, or were you guys all pretty good?
Well, I was the only Sydney girl, if I recall, in the initial stages when we were in that house, when we were filming Pop Stars. And yes, I would take my car and go and see family and my boyfriend. And yeah, I remember. The other girls, not so much, because they didn't have a car and didn't have family and friends in Sydney. So they all sort of stuck it out in the house most of the time. I didn't get out a lot, but I definitely got out. And yeah, as far as like disguises and stuff, I don't recall that. I just remember things like me being on a plane and falling asleep and dribbling, and then a fan coming up and sort of waking you from a really deep sleep, and you know, things like that. It was a crazy time. Like, it was, yeah, the fans were there were lots of fans, put it that way.
Did you have any crazy kind of stalker fans, or was it because it was predominantly women, it was a bit more chilled?
We did have a few, actually, and Tiffany sent me a photo of one the other day. he said, and he was in Adelaide, and she was like, remember him? And I'm like, oh my God, yes. Just his face. I was like, oh, that's right, that guy, you know, 19 years ago.
He's probably listening to this right now.
Well, no, I don't know about that. Who else? Oh, no, nothing, mate. We had some girls that really sort of, you know, would come to our homes and scream and, you know, drive around the block and blare our music.
Oh, sorry about that. Just joking. That was not us. No, no, no. We were 12. We couldn't drive. We did go to your appearance at Marion Shopping Centre in Adelaide, and I remember our mum finally agreed that we could go, but that meant that we parked like two streets away and then were like crushed right at the back. So we were there, but we didn't really see anything.
Yeah, what were those shopping what were the shopping centre appearances like? Because even now looking back, I don't think I've ever seen a shopping centre so packed out for anybody.
Yeah, I mean, they were saying there was 20,000 at those ones in the initial stages.
Wow.
You know, the initial ones that we did, which you're talking about, where we went all around the country just off the back of the TV show. But, yeah, 20,000 people, like it was – I do remember that first one we did in Parramatta. It just was just on another level. And the screaming actually made me want to cry with emotion of, I don't know, happiness, overwhelm. Like I don't even know, but I just remember hopping on stage and just feeling the energy from the crowd and the screams and just going, oh, my God, I just want to stand here and cry. I don't want to sing and dance.
Oh, wow.
You know, I really remember that feeling, and I had a big lump in my throat for that first performance. And you can't sing with a big lump in your throat. So, yeah, I have vivid memories of that performance in particular, but yeah, there were so many.
That's so cool. Moving from Pop Stars to, I suppose, what you did after Bardot, I read online that you were the creative director for Asia's Next Top Model in Singapore. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how that all came about?
Yeah, I was creative director on a show. You might have got that confused. I was creative director on a show that I did in Planet Hollywood in Vegas, a stage show with a female review show. That was what I was creative director for. But for Asia's Next Top Model, I was VIP for events. Just basically working for that company, Ice TV, that launched one of the series here in Singapore. So, yeah, that was just that kind of job. But I wasn't, not creative director for Asia's Next Top Model.
Well, thank goodness we ask you that. Thank you for clearing that up. Was it bizarre working closely, I suppose, with another reality TV show, though?
No, not really. I mean, for me, I just love all that. Like, I love that industry, and it's the industry, you know, anything creative and to do with television and stage, I'm totally passionate about. So, no, it was, I loved that job. It was great. It was great to work behind the scenes. I actually enjoy working behind the scenes just as much as in front. So, yeah.
Well, we're really not surprised to hear you're an interior designer because your Instagram is very aesthetically pleasing. Can you tell us a little bit more about your business, House of Chapel?
There's a few households for different things around the world. And actually, when I went to register the name, and when I went to put up my Instagram, there's a House of Chapel fashion label in America. So it's, you know, House of, it isn't that, you know, people have done it before, but I think it's just, for me, I quite like my last name, and I love that it's my, I don't have any brothers and sisters and, I don't have any brothers to take on to keep the chapel name, you know? So, I just thought it was a nice ode to my dad and my dad's side of the family. It just made sense to call it that. But I was in London for a few years with my husband. He's from Sweden, so that's why I ended up on that side of the world living. When I first got there, I had some extra time because I was sorting out my work visa, and it was just something that I'd always wanted to do. And, you know, we all have dreams of setting up our own businesses and things that we've, you know, thought about doing, and then we don't do it. And I just thought, you know what, this is something that I've always wanted to do, and I didn't go to university, so for me it was a big deal to go back and study. And you know, I was just like, can I do this? And I loved it, absolutely loved it. I just did a diploma for a year, but it was fabulous. I loved every minute of it. And I actually recently looked into studying further to get my bachelor in it, but it's so expensive to get a degree, isn't it? So expensive. So, and for me, it would just be an achievement that I wanted to do for myself. And I thought, you know what, I can put that money into the business. So I decided not to do that. But no, that's how it happened. And then I set it up organically. And we have a house in Marbella in Spain, my husband and I. So that's sort of where I opened up that sort of leg of the business, and then now I'm in Asia. So yeah, I take clients all over the world, really. Now you can do it from anywhere, as long as, you know, some clients like you to inspect the actual location, but you can actually do it without seeing it because you can send photos, videos, you know, you can order from all over the world. You can make things happen, even if you're not actually there.
I've got an interior design question for you, but it's a bit of a personal question because my boyfriend and I, we've moved in and we do not have the same taste at all. How do you work through those problems with clients if someone, for example, because I like really modern looking houses and he likes really sort of the old wooden style? How do you work through those kind of problems and find a solution?
I have the same problem with my husband. I mean, absolutely. Our tastes aren't too different, but then I've definitely got my clear vision of exactly what I like, and he's got his things that he likes. So, no, and I think that's really common, but you just try and understand both tastes and merge them, and I love doing that. I love being able to, that's a challenge to me. And you know, usually you'll be surprised. I always feel like all the different genres of design, you put them together and mix them, and that's what will make it timeless. You know, if you just stick with one trend, I find that's when your house, you know, in a few years you'll look at it and you'll go, oh no, like it looks out of fashion. Mm-hmm. So I think if you mix styles, and that's one of my favorite things to do, is mix the old with the new.
Okay, well, I'm going to
vintage pieces with some really modern pieces. Yeah.
Sorry, I meant to interrupt you. I was going to say, I'll definitely have to hit you up when we do move into a new house, because that sounds, I feel like we need someone being the mediator. And we'll link all your details in our show notes as well, where people can find you.
Fantastic. Great.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We had so much fun going down memory lane with you. And we do appreciate your time so much. So thanks so much for talking with us.
No problem at all. My pleasure.